brings back a lot of memories, doesn't it? Mystery guest, you go ahead and sign in, please.
I'm telling you, when you can get little Anthony and the Imperials, that just says, ah.
Yeah. Now, you signed on the program log, as well as I remember. Go ahead. Tommy Algy Bose. Am I right?
It is so right. How about Algy Thomas Bose?
What was going on with the algae part? I didn't quite understand. And were we supposed to sign on like that back in... See, I didn't know what was going on back in the early 1970s.
I don't think I ever signed on that way, but...
You didn't?
Yeah.
Well, as I remember, it was Tommy Algy Bose.
I think that's what you remembered, and that's good. Long as you can be remembered.
That's right. Well, full name, Tommy, and that's okay. That's what you did in the radio back in the years. Tommy Bose is my guest right here on 96.7 WKRX back in the day with Bill and Kay. Tommy, it's a pleasure to speak with you again. And you mentioned a little precipitation on the outside.
It's getting wet out there.
Yeah,
and we need it. And it's so good to meet Kay.
Yeah, Kay, I told Tommy, ladies and gentlemen, Kay is my music director. I told her, Tommy, I could not do this show without her.
Because back in the day.
Back in the
day. Bill and Kay.
There you go, Tommy.
Like it.
Back in the day. Tommy, we're going to talk back in the day. We're going to skip around a whole lot in the decades because... if I cover one decade and that leads to another decade, and then your career spawns into something different. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do this. Let's take a break right now. We'll be back in just a minute. Tommy Bose, back in the day with Bill and Kay is my guest. Hey, Tommy, you still got it, man. You pulled that one right there. When I say pulled, you pulled a selection, Bob Seger.
That's not bad, is it?
No, that's pretty good. You still got it. Tommy Bose right here. Bob Seger right as we heard that old time rock and roll on 96.7 WKRX. If you just tuned in, it's Tommy Bose. And Tommy, we've had an interview, when was that, about 8-9 years ago?
About 9 years.
Mm-hmm. About 9 years ago, I think we had Jackie Gore, not here, but we're plugging one of his songs as well as I remember. We're talking about beach music, ladies and gentlemen. And I think we talked a little bit about somewhat. I don't think we talked about back in the day, though, in your career. And the influence that you have and had, you have still so many friends that remember you on the air. And, of course, of those days of the, I don't want to get the dates wrong. I'm thinking 1961 till what date? When did it all
started
here?
With me back when Harold Taylor found me at a men's store.
On a corner of Chubb Lake Street and Charles, something like that. No, I'm just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
And he said, son, would you like to maybe work for us at the radio?
Where was this at, Tommy?
At Fasheed's men's shop.
Really?
And after working in tobacco and fitting shoes and shirts... that sounded real good.
And what year was this? Do you remember?
I was a sophomore, about 62.
62.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And on the air uptown. This is when the studios were uptown. I'm confused, Tommy. Were the studios here first and then moved uptown and then moved back?
Yeah, Harold started it in 1949 out here.
Right.
And
on a
then
Mills Road.
Moved uptown back when it was hustle, bustle, really... Lots of people in the downtown area, and all the businesses, you know, were located in the downtown area.
Right.
And so it was kind of perfect for the day. And I worked at that studio the majority of the years downtown. And the most rememberable thing, I think, Bill, is the Sunday afternoon from the window. And...
Now, when you say from the window, WRXO, you had to climb the stairs upstairs.
That's right.
And then there's the window looking down on Main Street.
Over Person Furniture Company at the time.
All right.
And on Sunday after the 1 o'clock show, I'd say about 2, I'd move the remote control board up there, and we'd play the records from the window.
Right.
and say hello, everybody. Never will forget when there's a convertible Mustang coming down Main, and these ladies that were driving the car, all of them waving and looking, and I saluted them that afternoon from the window, and they ran into the car in front of them.
My, I heard that story, too, but not completely like you tell it. So, you know.
I bet you heard it when there was Lieutenant Curfee in that car, and it was.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Lieutenant Curfee, that goes back into a Roxborough Police Department, and my dad and I at the time went to over Curfee's house from time to time, whatever reason, I don't know, but I remember that. And talking about 1962, Tommy, I was 10 years old at that time, and you were how old at that time? Let's give an age here. You were still in high school, a sophomore?
Yeah, I'm going to say 16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Harold Taylor says, come on up here, boy. I'm going to make you a DJ. Was it as simple as that?
Well, it wasn't, you know. It was really working nighttime, holidays, weekends. But I always looked at it that I was enjoying playing the music, right, talking to the public, and air-conditioned studios.
Right. Let me ask you this, as well as I remember, you're talking about DJing at the window, looking down. I remember also, not in that particular location, but people driving by can see you DJ the console. Let's give an example like Kato's or something like that. Mm-hmm. And were you actually spinning the tunes going on the air right at that point?
When we left the studio, we would take a box, a cardboard box, and put the top 40 records over in the box and a few oldies to mix in and take it out wherever it was. One of the most memorable remotes was at TGY Family Center.
I remember that.
And they were going to bring Santa Claus in, of which they did, in a helicopter. And that went over real good. So we had a good time out on remote. We met the people, and it was always a real good time.
Well, Santa Claus did land safely, I assume.
Yeah, he made it okay that day.
Okay, well, that was great. And TGNY was one of the family services, what do you call it, Tommy?
A variety store. One of the big ones back in its day.
Yep, and I was looking for a Farrah Fawcett poster from 77 at TGNY and couldn't afford it.
I understand. I wished I'd have known you were doing Mike last week. I missed that, but...
Mike was a week before, by the way,
okay.
And we had a good time. Mike, I've heard some stories about him and radio school in Atlanta, Georgia. The story actually came from him back in the early 1970s, and I retained this information. So I wanted to clarify, Mike, am I hearing it the way you told the story back in 1972? And he said, that's right. You know, went to school for drummer, I think, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons drummer and so forth. And I like old stories like that. And the first song he heard when he landed in Atlanta, Georgia, on his way to broadcast radio school was Brooke Benton's Rainy Night in Georgia.
I think all of you guys went to radio school. Doug Stevens went to one.
Doug,
Mike.
Yeah.
And yourself.
Doug was, he came out of the Army, didn't he, in 1965, 66? And I remember listening to Doug. It was called the, what was that show? Top, some kind of countdown. What was that, Tommy?
I can't remember, but I saw Doug last night.
Did
I thought about those days of him coming back to Roxborough.
Yeah, Doug, and he drove the Camaro with no hubcaps.
That's right.
And parked it over here in the parking lot, of course. Doug, we'll say hello to you if you're listening, too. Doug goes back right here. I witnessed Doug. I like Doug's style somewhat back in that time. Doug was pretty cool. He would let the record finish out, and then you would hear maybe some of the grooves at the end of the record.
That's right.
And then Doug said he'll get up and then finally cut on the microphone.
And get close.
That was just, everybody's got a different style, ladies and gentlemen, and that was Doug Stevens, and Doug was really good. I like Doug a whole lot, so.
Bob Fundridge, I understand you were struggling about the other day to who he was. Babalu?
Babalu.
And he spilled a Coca-Cola on the board that you're looking at, And that was quite an experience.
Babalu, and I don't remember him.
He came from Burlington.
Okay, that's probably why. So, and he spilt, I can imagine what happened after the Coke went into the console right here. Was it dead air, or did it completely wipe out the electronics, or what?
It did, and we had to operate on a remote board that I used at the window, and it worked out good, but it worked us hard for 2 days until Harold got it rebuilt.
Well, I was going to ask you, Mr. Taylor's reaction.
Yeah, it was well spoken.
I imagine, and Charlie Wade had something to do with it.
Oh, yeah, and Charlie was helping him rebuild it. Oh, Charlie was such a great old engineer.
Yes, he was. I thought a lot of him. He was an amateur radio operator, by the way. And matter of fact, he watched me in the production room make an air check. And for my first adventure into a radio, he taught me a whole lot. Tommy, let's take this break. Tommy Bowes is the man in the seat right here. By the way, Tommy, this control room is no stranger to you, is it?
Well, it isn't, but it is. I mean, when you're away for a while, it takes a little bit out of it, but I do remember exactly what you're doing.
The Gates console, remember the old Gates console?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the big pots. We call them pots, ladies and gentlemen. Radio people know what that is. So, anyway, Tommy, let's take this short break.
Let's
hear from my spouses right here, Ford Brothers Automotive and Thomas & Oakley Drugstore, Uptown Roxborough. We wish you had a nickel for every time you played that song, Tommy.
James Brown. The baddest man in town.
The godfather of soul.
Man, that brings back memories.
Tommy Bowes, ladies and gentlemen. Tommy, it's I ask people, I didn't ask you yet, but I always ask them, how long can you stay? Because our interviews or conversations get kind of lengthy sometimes. And I didn't put a time limit on this. So we got, in my opinion, we got so much to talk about it as far as radio is concerned. Let's go ahead and talk about Remax. You're with Remax now, and I asked you a little while ago. Remax, a realtor, your realtor, and how's business? Is things economically picking up for Person County? And you know about all this.
Well, it really has bounced back. I had a great day today. And, you know, it's a sale a day or a listing makes it a good time. And things have gone quite well and bounced back very well. Jay and Gay Poindexter are the broker in charge and the owners. And we've got Donna Dunavant. I can go on and on about the agents, but we have enjoyed it and certainly hope maybe it keeps it up.
Well, this is your final endeavor, I assume, is we'll touch on this, what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, in just a minute, but this is your final endeavor, I assume, is real estate. And so
Well, I've been fortunate that as time moves on, be able to work at it, kind of like we were talking about an old buddy, Ronnie Chandler, having a big birthday. Ronnie has continued to work over the years and does quite well, and I've done the same thing. Sure have been blessed.
Well, I gave out his birthday on his Saturday afternoon beach party, and a little bit dyslexic, and I said that Ronnie Chandler's 57. And actually, it's the reverse. So, you know, we don't like numbers. So I tried to make it sound good as possible, Ronnie.
Well, I'm pushing him on the heels. So,
Tommy, real estate, let's back up now. Let's go. When did you end the radio career here at WRXO, WKRX? I'm thinking back in 1972. I'll let you explain. Let's talk about that, okay?
I was trying to remember coming up here what year it was, but I think it was in the mid-70s. And, of course, been a lot of careers after that. And kind of like Tom Gillum said to me one day, he said, boy, you've had more good jobs than most people have in five lifetimes.
Absolutely.
I have been blessed.
Yes, you have. And I was thinking, right after radio, as well as I remember, McDonald's. Did you, sales representative for McDonald's? We're talking about the food chain.
Promotions, and that was just right up my alley at the time. I carried Ronald McDonald to the different restaurants or the different McDonald's. I also did grand openings and promotions at that time. Every quarter we switched to some other product and up and down. I had three states.
Wow.
And it was a challenge and a good one. It was something different.
Well, that was right up your alley, so to speak, because promotion, that's part of your being, and we'll get to that in just a minute. After McDonald's, you know, or knew some of my radio friends, Dale Van Horn at that time at WKIX in Raleigh.
All the guys over there.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Brown, WKIX.
Charlie's in Burlington now, isn't he?
Hillsboro. He may work in Burlington.
Eddie Weiss.
He lives in Hillsboro, I think it is. Yeah. So these contacts, you still stay in contact with many of these radio guys, don't you?
I do, and there are a lot of them, like Tommy Walker, that I knew at that time. And
right.
I don't really know. I kind of lost on some of them. I can't remember.
Tommy Walker was, I believe he was the music director at WKIX. Tommy's in Wilmington, I think.
Okay.
And I talked to him about 10 years ago, and I think he's got a magazine out. He's a publisher, magazine editor or publisher or something or others.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy Walker was known as the, what, Tommy? The Ranger.
The Ranger.
I think what I heard, I didn't actually see him do it. He wore a Ranger hat. you know, like the Ranger at in the Yogi Bear cartoon series, you know, on TV or something like that. That's what I've heard. So that was McDonald's. We're covering the 70s decade right now. Then you went into the convenience store business. You had your own store at Timberlake, but before that, right here on Morgan Street, too, didn't you?
Well, after it was on Morgan Street, that was right before I went into real estate. But yeah, convenience store business, had the Food Mart and Grill down in Timberlake, and that went on for a while and worked out really good. Hey, another career that came in behind that was Night Fever.
Yes, it was. We'll talk about that, too, in a second. But you are, what is this convenience store? You just had one, Morgan. Well, what was first, Morgan or Timberlake? Or
Timberlake was
Morgan?
First, yeah.
Okay.
And then the Morgan Street came in the latter years.
But you never left the music, did you?
Never did. Never will forget, we opened up at the Food Mart and Grill on Morgan Street in the corner right next to the Open Kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And for the grand opening, I had Elvis on top of the store.
How about that?
And had hot dogs for 15 cents and things of that nature. Just really a lot of promotions paid off.
And the basement of Bruce's, uptown Roxborough building,
Night Fever.
The basement,
yeah.
Night Fever.
Listen, yeah.
That was a big that was a big thing. The disco era was just beginning. What year was that? Disco began in 75. When did you manage that?
And that was a year. Went to see Saturday Night Fever and dreamed big about what Roxborough could do. But if, you know, you make it to the Roxborough Person County as citizens, it'll work. But if you try to do something else outside of that,
right,
it'll fall.
Right. Now, watching the movie, Saturday Night Fever, did you learn any John Travolta moves?
Didn't try to move myself. I like to see those come in and move.
So. I did too. How long did, I knew it as Dreamers. Did you say, that was the name of the nightclub, Dreamers? Or
that was one. I think the Winstead Boys had Dreamers.
Right, okay.
And then Wayne Ross did Wagon Wheel. No, that's not Wagon Wheel. He had one out that way on 49.
Wayne is the house appraiser guy.
Yeah, great guy, too.
Yeah.
Great guy.
I talked to him about 2 weeks ago.
Great mm-hmm. people.
Yep. And after that, Tommy, when did you get into real estate business? Shortly thereafter?
Yeah, right after that.
Really?
Started now. We've been in it 20 some years now, so it's been a while. But I was just trying to think of. I think we kind of hit the careers.
Well, I love talking to people of interest, Tommy, and sometimes I get a little bit long-winded by questions. I love to know where people have been. As opposed to where they're going and vice versa. So you have had a long, illustrious career in music and also in business, too, and so forth. Let's take this break, Tommy. I want to go back to the mid-60s coming up in just a minute.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about promotion a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
I'm
interested
dances,
in your promotional aspect of back in the mid-60s.
Yeah, we can talk a while on that.
Let me take this break, and we'll be right back. Tommy Bowes, Back in the Day with Bill and Kay. Tommy Bowes is my guest. We'll be right back.
Hang on.
All righty, 96.7 WKRX, Roxboro, North Carolina, and my guest, Tommy Bowes. Tommy, Margaret McMahon is supposed to be coming up here a little bit. I think we'll delay her. We're wrapped up in this conversation in decades, and which is very, very interesting to
Margaret is a good promoter.
Oh, you're talking about promotion. She is super, isn't she?
Yeah, excellent. Does a great job.
Let's go to the phone. Hey, phone caller.
Hello there.
Hello, phone caller. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
I know you want to talk to Mr. Bowes, don't you?
Yes, I do. Actually, I want to talk to both of you. I just cannot believe that we have got the equivalent of Dick Clark and Casey Kasem right here in good old Roxboro.
Tommy, you know that guy. It sounds suspect to me.
I do. He's a wonderful friend, one of the Duke employees. And, oh, Deb, we just got through talking about the Long family. And hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I am doing great, Tommy. It's just a pleasure to listen to you back on the radio. Like I said, I just can't believe how lucky we are to have you and Bill on the radio. And I'm just looking forward to the rest of the conversation tonight.
Kevin, we were talking about Debbie a little while ago. As you know, I don't know if you know where I live on Charles Street. Growing up, Tommy said, asked me, did Debbie live nearby, Debbie and Johnny? And I said, two houses down across the street.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So we were talking about her. Tell her we said hello, okay?
I will. Look, I'm just going to sit here, and Tommy, you know what I got in my right hand, which is a beer, because my left hand's holding the phone. So thank you very much, and I just, like I said, looking forward to the rest of the show.
You the man.
Tommy, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Bill,
thank you, friend. Too.
Hey, Kevin, appreciate your call, buddy.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
What a great guy.
It seems like I don't know him personally. I don't know if I've talked to him over the years or not, but I knew that Debbie was married to Kevin, and I recognize the name, Tommy, so there
right.
You go. All right, anybody, if you'd like to talk to Tommy back in the day with Bill and Kay, Tommy is here for the another couple of minutes or so. Give us a call, 599-0266. And, of course, Tommy, you know we're on TuneIn, and people out of town that you grew up with, went to school with, maybe they're listening too. I don't know, but maybe they want to touch bases with you somewhat and reminisce back in the day, so to speak. So,
what do they call?
Say again?
What number?
Area code 336-599-0266 is the number to call.
Talking about promotions back in the day.
Yes.
The National Guard Armory was the spot that every month we enjoyed promotions. One of the greatest was the Pieces of Eight and the Swinging Medallions and the Platters and the Drifters.
That is just legendary for you. How did this come about? How did you get up with these great groups as the South Carolina Swinging Medallions, otherwise known before that as Pieces of Eight, and and all these great bands? You booked them at the National Guard Armory.
I did.
How did that come about?
You know, there was a great need for places to go for kids and whatever. But we brought in these groups. Harold Taylor was another one that really endorsed it. He got the publicity of the station out of doing it. The Armory at the time was the facility that kind of hit where we needed to be. And we'd bring them into the Armory. And the people really had a good time.
This was a once a month thing too, a different band once a month.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny at the time. I was thinking about this the other week that people wondered how in the world did you afford the Swinging Medallions from Greenwood, South Carolina?
Absolutely.
And really, I did it on percentages.
You did.
Yep, I did. We'll take 60, and you get 40. And it worked out pretty good.
Okay, all right. So, please. All right. Well, I think we got another phone caller, Tommy. And let's
great.
Let's see. if we can touch bases and reminisce a little bit, and back in the days of radio and so forth, back in the 60s or whatever. Well, maybe more recent than that. Caller, hello. Okay.
Hello there. Is anybody on the line?
Well, they were on the... Hold on.
What do you think, Kay?
He put one back on hold. They're on two.
We got two left. Oh, two.
No, pick up line two.
I'm you on the wrong one.
Yeah, you put one
back. Let me go
on
to
hold.
Two here. How about it? Caller, hello. Okay. All right.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Tommy Bowes is waiting.
I'd like to say what a pleasure it is to be able to listen to you and Tommy Bowes on the radio. He was great back in the day, and you have a great show. Every Saturday we listen to it as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Tommy?
Hey, this is old... Keith Fox here.
Hey, Fox. That's my main
I just
want
to call and give you a shout, let you know some of your old buddies are listening. Eddie Buck, I know you gotta play him a song later on.
We'll do it with Eddie Buck. How's he doing?
He's doing good.
That's great.
But I do remember a lot of back in the day when TV was really, really up on the oldies and was good with the bands. And had a lot of good music and was good for this community here.
It really was. I remember that, too. But I couldn't get over it. Tommy already answered the question. A band every month at the National Guard Armory?
We had some nice, boring times back then.
Well, Keith, it's so good to talk to you. And Cindy, tell everybody we said hello.
We'll do it. It's a pleasure. Enjoy the show.
Thank you so
much.
Take care of Eddie Buck.
Take care, Keith. All right, Tommy, the expense. Do you remember the expense in bringing a band in like that? We're talking about nationally the Swingin' Medallions, Pieces of Eight. Mm-hmm. And they had a national hit that you well remember. How did you bring a national band that had a national hit in the National Armory?
Well, once you start something and they hear down the road, well, he had a right good Saturday night when we were there, brought in $10,000, and... the band would say, well, we'll be available, we'll test it and see how it works, and it very seldom didn't work. So it was good for the public, and we brought in Little Anthony and the Imperials one time right after a hit, and that went over very well. But, all of them, the Drifters were great, and we had a packed house, and they would be parked all around the Pine Lakes back then.
Man. I didn't know it was every week, and I didn't know it was that big at the time either. Promoting, I remember promotions over WRXO. Of course, you did the promotions, but that was just humongous. How many years has this gone, Tommy?
I think that went on maybe 4 to 5 years.
Really?
When things were getting a little rough, because so many years it worked so smooth, and
right.
then when it got a little rough, it's time to call it quits.
Right. Right.
So we did.
Okay. Tell us about, very interesting to me, after that or during, it was, and I know you were part of this too, Battle of the Bands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were starting to have, like Mike Laws had a group that was to play in it. There are many others, Richard Smith and several others, that come back to mind that we do the Battle of the Bands. And they would have the opportunity to play the song that they wanted to impress.
How about that?
And then it was the old VU meter. Whoever got the most noise from the crowd down were the winners.
How about that? And usually there was three or four bands or more competing?
Usually 3 to 4 a night, all competing. And they came from Oxford and Durham and different places around us to compete.
Do you remember any names of these bands?
Gosh, we were talking about that a month ago, and my wife can remember more than I can.
Well, you were a part of it, then primarily the promotional part. That's here we go back to promotion again. So, National Guard Armory to Battle of the Bands. And, Tommy, you just added a whole lot to this county and surrounding area as far as entertainment's concerned. So,
that was great. And then back in those days as well was bluegrass. I did bluegrass and
I know you did.
Brought them to the old high school auditorium.
And you did. You were the author, if you will, of the Bluegrass Express.
Oh, yeah. We did that Saturday at 1 o'clock and riding the Bluegrass Express. And then we had sponsors that did that every week. And I think it goes on today, like Monday night here.
Buddy Michaels.
Buddy Michaels, my old buddy from Burlington.
Right.
Really does a good job.
And you did that show on Saturday at 1 o'clock, as you mentioned, because I worked here in the early days in 72 from like 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. You did the bluegrass show in the production room.
Yep, sure did. And that went for an hour, I think, on Saturday, didn't it, Bill?
Well, I'm not sure, but I was amazed at how you could ad-lib the way you did at the time. Of course, being a radio newbie at the time, you know, it was just that way. And here we got a seasoned man in radio that, ladies and gentlemen, this is no lie. I sat in, well, I didn't sit. I stood in the doorway right here. And watched him, correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy, mm-hmm. You would be talking on the phone, put the phone on your shoulder, talking on the air, and reaching for the record rack, pulling out a record, looking at the record. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all in one go now. Putting it on the turntable, not listening to the cue, because you can't hear the cue when the mic's on, but then turns the turntable on and walks the record right up to where it's supposed to end.
Those were the good old days.
I have somebody on line one that wants to speak to two legends.
Great.
We got one of
Kay,
them here.
Kay, thank you.
Thank you, Kay. All right. Tommy, let's go ahead and take this break, and we'll go to another caller, which is absolutely fantastic that you could be here. I appreciate you being here, man.
I appreciate being here, and thanks to the caller. We'll hold on for you and talk to you in a minute.
We'll get that in just a second. Stand by. All right, Tommy Bose is my guest. You just turned in back in the day with Bill and Kay. And, Tommy, this is just bringing back a whole lot of great memories for me. This is better than primetime TV on a Friday night or Saturday night.
I'm glad you remember.
This is just wonderful. Let's go to the phone right now. Hello.
Is Tommy close by?
Yes, he is. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm just a jackleg painter. I paint for Remax, and I'm from Bushy Fork, North Carolina.
Yep, I know that guy, and no doubt... How you doing, Ray?
Well, I was coming in from a hard day's work and had you on the radio. Got home and I don't have a radio, so I had to go get this AM FM box and cut it on just where I could call you.
Bill, a lot of times when I see Ray, and now we were talking about TGNY a little bit earlier. Give it to him.
Well, I don't know if we can do it in 2017. We could do it back in the late 60s.
Go to it.
Go to it.
You know, at TGNY, the Family Center here in Roxboro, we have pantyhose about half off. That was one of the oldie goldies back in the day.
There
when
you
I was
go.
10, 11, 12 years old, I'd ride my bicycle from Newell Heights to Main Street because I would find out where he was on remote. And I thought that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
He did that.
And now, Bill, I can mock him to a T. So, in other words, Tommy Bose will never die.
Well, you know, Ray, I tend to almost agree with you, and I did some of that too. And wherever Tommy was, he drew a crowd, didn't he? Right there, spinning those records at wherever he was at.
Dick Clark Jr.
Bless your heart. I appreciate everybody, and thank you, Ray.
All right, buddy, I got to go. Y'all have a good evening.
You
thank
too,
you, Ray.
Friend.
All right, bye bye.
All right, Tommy, we got T-shirts on the way with, I got 15%, you got 5%, and Dave Bratcher's going to put the bill. How about that?
I got you. Dave Bratcher is a good one, man. I go back a long ways with Dave.
Back in the day, we'll be on the front. Tommy Bose will be in the back at shoulder level, and then Mike will be slightly below you. We're talking about Mike Laws.
Gotcha.
Let's talk about Mike Laws. Let's talk about you guys. Mike, oh gosh, Mike entered radio. What year was that, Tommy? You and Mike got together on the radio and decided to, I'm thinking of a little skit that he and you did. Did he have a skit or something or another on the radio? Imitation of voices?
I remember after Mike had... I think come from the broadcast school. Didn't he go to Oxford?
I think he worked in Oxford, but he said he worked in a small station in Atlanta, Georgia before Oxford, because I knew him in, well, didn't know him at that time. I knew he worked in Oxford before he came here, so. But Atlanta, Georgia, he worked at a small radio station, according to him. So I'm not sure if that answers your question or not.
Well, I tell you, I met Mike early days. We were at Meadowbrook Swimming Pool at Timberlake. And Mike swam up to me and he said, "You're the guy on the radio, aren't you?" I said, "Well, one of them, I guess." He said, "Well, I'm going to be there one day, too." I said, "Very good. It's a tough life."
And then he swam away.
Yeah.
Okay. Real true story?
True story. True story.
How about that? Let's talk about some old broadcasters. Ted Nelson. You remember Ted?
I heard Ted was in town yesterday.
Ted was the newsman here in 1973 and 74. Yes, that's what I heard, too. He ended up here at the station by whatever reason. I guess he lost his way.
Well, I'd love to see him. I remember Ted being here. You know, I worked with Jack Slaughter and Ted Nelson and Jay Carlton. And those news people were the things of the day with the local stations.
Right.
And Ted announced my candidacy for county commissioner and that had won the election, or one of them. Can't tell you when.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I told Dave Bratcher, I said, radio people's lives cross. And I told Dave Bratcher, this was like Wednesday evening, I said, if it wasn't for Ted Nelson, I would not have filled out an application for my first 100,000-watt job in New Bern, North Carolina.
That's right. He came from that area, didn't he?
Well, I mentioned something about, I said, Ted, let's go to the beach or something and get up some you know, good-looking ladies or something. Well, we ended up at the beach, but we went into one of the beach clubs and we didn't see anything going on. But on our way back, Tommy, I said, I want to stop right there at the radio station, fill out an application. So, you know, things are 2 weeks later, I got the job, by the way. So, you know, people in radio, and you know so many people, and I'm not just talking about radio either. Our lives cross and some of the strangest things happen.
And, no doubt.
And where we are in this point in time, and you look back, and if Ted's listening right now, Ted lived two houses down. We're talking about Harold Taylor's house, not in the house, but the garage apartment right beside the house. And Ted lived upstairs right there. So Ted and I were kind of neighbors, you know, and worked at the same location at the time. Mm-hmm. So, but Ted was here, and I wish I was here, and I could have, you know, we could have talked about some old times, too.
Well, I'm certainly glad you came back to your hometown, because you've added a lot to the station. People love you on Saturdays, the other days, too. But
well, I appreciate that, and we love what we do, and you love what you do, too, and at the time, and back in the 60s in Uptown Roxborough where the studios were and that time, and then back here at Hurdle Mills Road and of course enjoying the fun, of course, listening to you. As Ray mentioned a little while ago, I mean, going where Tommy Bowes was on remote, man, you drew the crowd in for the sales.
Well, that was my job, really. Harold Taylor always said, "You may can do another remote if you try." I'd be full all week long. So, anyway, those were the good old days.
Yes, they were. And it's, you know, we just talking about a little while ago. They're not like they used to be, Tommy, in radio. You know, back then, quite different. You were an icon, and still are. Still, you know, at the time, people remember you. Just like Ray did a little while ago, just like other callers too, and you just brought it to the morning show, which I remember your son had that.
You remember Chris?
Yes, I do.
He would say, "Good morning, Daddy." And
well, he didn't say it exactly like that.
Yeah,
he said, "Good morning, Tommy," like that.
That's right.
And now, what would you say when he said that?
Hello.
You say, "Good morning, son."
Yeah,
like that. So, you know, it's those little things that you remember back in the day like that. was just fun, and you brought a lot to...
And the moms enjoyed that. A lot of the moms, you know, it wasn't anything... I did say a lot, good morning, son, right. But most of the time was good morning, young man.
Something like that. You remember the song, you know, we're talking about beach music. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about beach music before beach music was beach music. Tommy, do you remember... Was there the phrase coined beach music back in the 60s, or it was
I don't think so. It was just a...
These songs that they're playing at the beach.
Yeah.
I remember you told me this is what they're playing at the beach. You were here on the air. You know what song you played? The instrumental. Let's Get It On?
Let's Get It On. Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not talking about Marvin Gaye. I think that was... Instrumental group, I got it at home. Matter of fact, no, it's right in back of you right there. We'll have to play it. But anyway, you played that, and you had that as your theme song, too. So, Tommy, let's go ahead and wrap it up. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been fun, Bill. Thank you so much. And still keeping on, so want you to be there, too, buddy.
Well, you know, it's just a pleasure. Once again, I can't say enough about you, Tommy. And the people who listen to Tommy said, there's Tommy. And Sonny Long was on the show a number of years ago. Callers called in for Sonny, you know, with the group In Men Limited.
Oh, yeah.
The beach music group. And Sonny just brought back so many memories of people he went to school with and vice versa. So, Tommy Bowes, I appreciate you being here.
It's been fun, Bill. Thank you so much, and bless you, buddy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, everybody.
And, Tommy, many more years to come with you, okay?
Hey, man, that sounds great.
You're a good shagger.
Somebody told me you're
a good shagger, too.
I don't know about that, but we're going to keep on.
Well, that's what somebody said. That's all I'm going to say, Tommy.
I like this Back in the Day with Bill and Kay.
You do like that. Well, I appreciate it. That's what we do. We play the tunes for, you know, just about everybody we can do.
Come on, James.
Come on, James. Come on, James. What you going to play next? Who did he say that to? James Brown said, what you going to play next? Or that one of his buddies, I think it was. Tommy, I'll let you go. Been fun, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Tommy. Tommy Bowes, ladies and gentlemen, James Brown.